Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. And this morning, I am going to begin to talk about the subject of trust. And specifically today, we're going to look at trusting in God's plan. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of people and even nations having to learn to trust God. Abraham and Joseph, Moses, the children of Israel. Later on, we see the apostles in the New Testament all experienced times in their life when they had to make a decision to trust God. The dictionary defines trust as the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. When we talk about trust in the Bible and we talk about trusting in God, everybody has a common decision to make. The people in the Bible, everybody sitting here this morning, we each have to make a decision that we choose to trust God in our life or we don't. Amen? And just because you choose to trust God today doesn't mean that you're not going to have to choose to trust God tomorrow. Right? I believe when you look in the Word of God, there's four main areas where those who believe in Almighty God have to make a decision to trust Him. You have to trust His plan. You have to trust His timing. You have to trust His provision. And you have to trust for the results. Amen. So as I said this morning, I'm going to be talking about trusting in God's plan. In the book of Exodus, the Lord has just delivered the nation of Israel. Exodus 23 is where we'll get there in just a second. Exodus 23:20. Israel from over 400 years of bondage. Those He delivered had never known anything but being under bondage and serving a taskmaster. The Lord, up to this point, as you read in the book of Exodus, He's done many spectacular things to deliver them and to set them free. He gave them favor with the Egyptians so they didn't walk away from Egypt empty-handed. The word says that they spoiled the Egyptians. He led them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, assuring them of His presence. He destroyed Pharaoh and his armies before their very eyes. He provided water and meat and bread. He did all these things, but now we come to a point where God wants to establish His covenant with them personally. He wanted them to learn to trust Him and develop faith in His word. See, up till now, they had been partakers of the blessings they experienced through the mercy and the grace of God in their lives because of the covenant that they had and because of the covenant that their fathers had, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant that they had with Almighty God. Because it says in the book of Exodus, when they cried out to God for help and they cried out to Him for deliverance, it said that God remembered the covenant that He had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God Almighty, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, is a covenant-keeping, covenant-making God. Aren't you glad of that? You should be. Amen. Praise the Lord. But now, They get to the point where God begins to expect them and desires for them to begin to walk out their lives, that they have to have faith in God. They're not living on mommy and daddy's faith anymore, or grandma and grandpa's faith anymore, or Pastor Will's faith anymore. It's time that, or whoever else has been a mentor in your life, there comes a point in time when you have to make a decision that I'm going to trust God for myself. Anybody been there? Amen. You have to learn to listen to His voice. The same principle applies in our lives. The Lord can and will deliver us mightily from bondage and from oppression. He can set us free to come out of all those things that have plagued us and controlled us our entire lives. But there comes a point in time we have to begin to take steps to trust Him with our lives and with our future. Trust God's plan. We may have messed our life up terribly. The good news is that there's nobody beyond hope. Amen. You may have messed up our life. Many of us were there. We messed our lives up. But God, in His mercy and His grace, He saved us and He delivered us and He cleansed us and He set us free. Amen. But then we all had to make a choice that we were going to continue on with Him and to trust Him with His plan for our life and to move forward. Amen? That's why so many people have an emotional experience with God, have tremendous experiences with God, get saved. I've seen people weeping and crying and just totally emotionally spent when they make Jesus the Lord of life, and they're just so happy. And a year later, you can't find them. Because somewhere in that point in time, they had to make a decision that they were going to start trusting God and walking with God. And they didn't do it. Amen? Everyone in here has made a decision that I'm going to trust God. You made a decision that you were coming to church this morning. Amen? We have to come to a place where we begin to take steps to trust Him with our lives and with our future. You know, I always kind of, you know, Mike and I have kind of joked around this with this before about people, well, I've done this way my whole life. Well, how's that worked out for you up until now? Ain't so good, right? You've made a mess of your life. I made a mess of my life early on. Amen? But God delivered me from that. God restored me. He restored our marriage. He restored everything about me. Amen? But I had to make a decision I was going to trust Him. Each of you have made a decision that you're going to trust God. Some of you have been following God from your youth as a child. Glory to God. You've made that decision to trust God a lot longer than I ever have. But we got to make that decision. Amen? God wants us to trust Him. Amen? That all those old tormentors and those things that have oppressed us are buried and they're never going to be seen again, just like Pharaoh and his army. See, the bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt is a type and shadow of God bringing us out of bondage. What Jesus has done for us, crossing through the Red Sea, going into the other side. Amen? And then all those things, those tormentors, those oppressors, were swallowed up behind them. It's all type and shadow. That's what Jesus wants to do in our life. Amen? He wants you to look back and say, glory to God. God has set me free. Hallelujah. So here in Exodus 23, we have an account of what God's wanting to do with the nation of Israel. Exodus 23, verse 20, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, "Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to keep and guard you on the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Be on your guard before him. Listen to and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him or provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name authority is in him. But if you will indeed listen to and truly obey his voice and do everything that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the land of the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, I will reject them and completely destroy them. You shall not bow down to worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do anything in accordance with their practices. You shall completely overthrow them and break down their sacred pillars and images of pagan worship. You shall serve only the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water. I will also remove sickness from among you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you, and I will throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you in flight. I will send hornets ahead of you, which will drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, so that the land does not become desolate due to the lack of attention, and the wild animals of the field do not become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little, until you have increased and are strong enough to take possession of the land." In this passage of Scripture, God promises the children of Israel several things. Amen? He promises them protection. He promises them victory. He promises them blessings. He promises them health. He promises them long life. He promises them that their enemies will be in fear of them, thrown into confusion, and will run from them. All they have to do is listen to his voice and trust his plan. Easy peasy, right? Sounds like it. They had a choice to make. Were they going to enter into a covenant relationship with God Almighty themselves or not? God was saying, "This is what I want you to do." Amen. Look at Exodus 24, verse 1. "Then he said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall approach the Lord, but they shall not approach, nor shall the people come up with him.' Then Moses came and reported to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do.' And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he got up early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 memorial stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it as the people listened." The book of the covenant, if you go back, is Exodus 20 through 23. We think it's the Ten Commandments. There's ordinances concerning relationships. It talks about personal injuries and responsibility. It talks about property rights. There's various laws dealing with the poor, talking about honesty and integrity. There's laws concerning the Sabbath and land usage. There's feasts that God sets up and says, I want you to do these three feasts to me every year to acknowledge and to worship me. Talks about victory over their enemies and God's plan in accomplishing that. It's things that God had told him, the things that he had shared with them the day before, and they said, what God says we're going to do. Moses went and wrote it all down, recorded it. That's what we have today. It's part of our Bible. He wrote it down, and he read it again as the people listened, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. So that day, there was a covenant of blood that was established between the children of the nation of Israel and God Almighty. A blood covenant. God says, do this. And this is what I'm going to do. And the people said, yes, we will do it and we will be obedient. How many times do we read the Word of God and we say, yes, yes, yes? But are we obedient? Verse 9. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not reach out with his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and they drank. We see here in this passage of Scripture, those representatives of the nation of Israel, they saw God that day. Doesn't say they seen him in all of his glory and all of his splendor. It says no man can see that and survive. But they seen God. That's what the Word says, right? They may have just seen his feet, just seen the bottom of it, but he was standing on like a sapphire pavement. But they were in the presence of Almighty God. Woo. In the presence of God, like very few people in the history of mankind has experienced God. Not only that, but they took communion. They ate and they drank in the presence of God. They took communion. Just as we took that communion in remembrance of the blood covenant that we have, they went before in the presence of Almighty God, they took communion with God. Symbolic of their decision to accept the covenant promises of God in their life. They were saying, God, we will trust you to do what you have said you're going to do. We will do the things that you have told us to do in the book of covenant. We trust that you've got our best interest at heart, and we're going to follow you. It's the same thing that we do when we take communion. We're saying that we trust you, God. We trust you and we thank you that we are forgiven. That we are partakers of a new covenant that Jesus established by shedding his blood, that he cleansed us from all of our sins, and that he took all the ordinances that were against us that day. Amen. And he nailed him to the cross with him, and he took them all out of the way so that we can enter into the presence of God unashamed and unabashed. Amen. We can enter into the Holy of Holies and find grace to help in time of need. Glory to God. We trust you, God, for our eternal salvation. We trust you that you have a plan for our life. We trust you enough that we make a decision to follow your words and the covenant you've made with us. These leaders who had heard the promises of God, who had seen God, who had an experience with God, who had taken part in the communion meal with God, were the same ones who died in the wilderness because of their lack of trust in God. Just because you have an experience with God doesn't mean that you're going to change. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to trust God. You have to trust God. Amen. I've seen people that had miracles happen in their life. Their kids healed miraculously. Their family saved. Things happened. Didn't change them. They're still living the same way today as they were 20, 30 years ago when that miracle happened. Still living in the world. Just because someone has an experience with God doesn't change their heart. It doesn't change the fact that they trust God. I mean, Nadab and Abihu got fried because they disobeyed God. Just in a simple thing, if don't bring a foreign fire or a fire into the temple. They disobeyed God in that, in their priestly duty. And they died right before God. God just... The elders, the only one present that day, we don't read about him, but he was there, if you think about it, is Joshua. We don't ever see him mentioned, but he was there. He was always with Moses. He was Moses' right-hand guy. The only one who trusted God that went up that mountain that day. They failed to trust the plan of God for their lives. God told them what he was going to do and how he was going to do it, but they lost sight of it when the obstacles appeared before them. Look at Exodus 23, 29 and 30. Didn't God tell them how he was going to do it? He said, I will not drive them out before you in a single year that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. He didn't say he was going to do it all at once, but little by little. Why? Because they couldn't handle it all at once. There's times we want God to do something in our life and we get disappointed because it doesn't happen right away. Maybe it's because we couldn't handle it if it happened all at once. Amen? It was going to happen little by little, victory after small victory, until the plan of God was fully accomplished. How many times in our lives do we feel like giving up? We get discouraged, maybe even begin to draw back from doing what the Lord has told us to do because we only see a little bit of his plan coming together. Maybe he's given us a dream, given us a vision about what things are going to look like in the future, and we've never seen that come to pass. We get frustrated. Little by little. Victory after little victory. Praise the Lord. God told the children of Israel his plan for bringing them into the promised land. He told them, you're going to possess it. It's all going to be yours. I'm going to drive them out. Amen. He told them what they were going to do, and they lost sight of that. There are times when the Lord lays something in our heart to do for Him, to accomplish for Him in the kingdom of God. The time when He gives us dreams and maybe even the vision of what's going to happen, but we're in the waiting stage. So what do we do when you're waiting upon the Lord? You follow God's plan. Amen? You follow God's word. It was written down. Amen? Moses wrote it down. He recited it to them. He wrote it down, and then he read it to them again. So it wasn't like, oh, well, we didn't know that that's what God said. God wrote it down for them. They had it there. Amen? You got it. Sometimes if you're getting discouraged and things aren't happening and you think, God, what's the plan, God? Get back into the Word. Go back to the Word that He's given you before and meditate on that Word and stay hooked up with God's plan. Amen? You do what you know to do in the present without fretting over what has happened up to that point. Fretting about what the future is going to look like and fretting over the obstacles you may face in the future. God has a plan. It is an essential to understand all the intricate details of the plan. All you have to do is follow the plan. Amen? God will work out the details. How many of you know waiting sometimes can be a terrible thing? Anybody else impatient? Impatient when you're driving? It's like, what are these people doing? Will you just get out of my way? Right? What are you doing, God? I've been waiting. I've been waiting for a year. I've been waiting for 5 years. I've been waiting for 10 years. What are you doing? Where are you at, God? Got to get back with the plan. Refocus on the plan. We have to spend those hours preparing ourselves for the moment that God does move. Nothing happens by chance. We must believe that God has a plan that will work. During those times of waiting, we have a choice to make, a decision to make. Do we continue to trust God to bring into reality the vision or the dream He has placed within us? Or do we do what the Israelites did and forget the Word of God and look at accomplish the dream in our own strength? Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Everybody doing okay this morning? Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Moses, "Send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader or a head among them." Then down in verse 17, these are the amplified version. Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Get up this way by the south, the Negeb, and go up until the hill country and see what land is and whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad and whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is timber on it or not, and be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. In preparation for what God is going to do, He instructed Moses to send out spies to search or spy out the land. To view the land, to view the abundance that was there waiting for them. Here in verse 17 and 20, we see the instructions that Moses gave to the spies before they left. I find it interesting that Moses gave the spies a much more detailed list of things to check out than the Lord had given him. Right? God said, send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader, a head among them. God never said anything to him about seeing if they're weak or whether they're strong, whether there's few or there's many, whether the land they live in is good or bad, whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds. You got to be careful what you say to people. Amen? We don't. Everything else that God said to Moses, he wrote down, right? Detail. All through Genesis, Exodus, whatever, especially in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, where God is communicating with Moses, he writes it down word for word. Did he, and I'm just throwing this out there, did he sow some doubt and unbelief? Did it matter whether the people were strong or weak? Did it matter if the cities were fortified or not? It did not. God said, I'm giving you the land. Remember, he said, I'm going to drive them out before you. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter what the obstacle is. When God is with you, it doesn't matter. If God is for you, who cares who's against you? Amen? Look at the report they gave when they came back in verse 27. Numbers 13, 27. They told Moses, we came to the land to which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. But look what they said next. But the people who dwell there are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. Amalek dwells in the land of the south, the Negeb, the Hittite, the Jebusite, the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea along the side of the Jordan River. Basically, what they said was the land is awesome, except there's one problem. The people that live there are terrifying. God never told them to look at how strong the people were. Amen? The same people, if you go back and read, the same people that God said that I'm going to drive them out, the Hittites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, are the same people that they said they're there, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. The same people that God had told them, I'm going to drive them out, are the same people that said in verse 31, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for who? Too strong for us. Well, duh. They were too strong for you before you ever went across and spied out the land. The fact of the matter is God didn't tell you that you were going to go and possess the land and to drive them out. God said, I will drive them out before you. You will be a terror to them. Amen? They got their focus and forgot what God had told them. Amen? What were they expecting to find when they went into the promised land. That it was going to be deserted? No. God said, I'm going to drive them out little by little until you get strong enough to handle them. Amen? Now there were 680,000 men that came out of Egypt. We don't know how many. Those were, I believe, men of war above the age of 20. That's a pretty good sized army. But God said, you're not big enough to handle everything in there. The fact of the matter was, it didn't matter how many people they had. God was the one who was going to drive them out. Just like the children of Israel, many times we see all the obstacles, how big of an uphill battle it's going to be, and we try to do it in our own strength, which is exactly what the children of Israel lost sight of. They lost sight and they quit trusting in the plan of God. God said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to send hornets. Now that's some pretty mean things, right? Hornets are nasty. He was going to send hornets ahead of them to drive entire civilizations out from before them. So that they could go in. That means they weren't even going to have to fight anybody. They were going to go in. Oh, well, thanks for building this city for us. And they lost total focus. They forgot the word of God, what God had told them, what God had entered into a covenant relationship with them. They forgot all about it and they quit trusting God. We do the same thing. We get in the midst of things, we get in the midst of a trial, and we forget the covenant that we are in with Almighty God. Let's just be honest. Maybe all you are more spiritual than that. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that. Right? Come on. God never told them they had to face the enemy in their own strength. He said, I will drive them out from before you. They got their focus off of God's plan and began to make their own plans, to view things from their own strength and their own ability. So because of their disobedience, all those who chose to follow man's counsel instead of God's counsel perished. We all know the story. There was only two of them, Caleb and Joshua, out of that whole generation that entered into the promised land. Moses didn't get in. Aaron didn't get in. Nadab and Abihu definitely didn't get in. The 70 elders didn't get in. All those who had an awesome experience with God, took communion in the presence of God, died in the wilderness because they didn't trust God. Never fulfilled the call of God on their life, the plan and purpose of God in their life. It was all because they didn't trust God, they didn't trust His Word, and they didn't trust His plan. I'll close with this. Corrie Ten Boom said this, always trust an unknown future to a known God. Amen. And that's what we have to do this morning and throughout our lives. We have to trust in our known God. This is what we know about God. Amen. We need to place our trust and our confidence in Him and trust in the plan. Amen. Father God, we thank You and we praise You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the plan that You have for each of our lives, Lord. We thank You and praise You, Lord, that You don't leave us, You don't forsake us, that You've written down Your plan, Lord. You've written down the strategies we are to use. You've written down the promises. You've written down the covenant that we have with you, that we can always go back and check out the plan once again, Lord. If we forget it, if we overlook it, if we're just downright disobedient, we can always refocus. We can ask for repentance and forgiveness. We're so thankful that your word says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you that even when we miss you, you have a plan for us. And we just need to learn to trust in your plan. And Lord, it's my prayer that each and every person here just is trusting you for the plan that you have for their life. Trusting you, the plan that you have for their families, Lord. And Lord, it's my prayer that we as a church body trust the plan that you have for us corporately. Lord, we just thank you for that, and we praise you for that. And Lord, I thank you that as we go throughout this week, that we'll just be reminded, Lord, of just to place our trust in you no matter what situation we come up against. Just give you all the praise and the glory for that. And Lord, I just pray as we leave this place today that you just loose your angels round about us to watch over us and protect us throughout this week. Just give us a great week in you, Father. We just give you all the praise, all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.